Welcome, Vashon and Maury Islands. This is History Worth Hearing, a presentation of the Vashon Heritage Museum, and I am your host, Chris Austin. We have an interesting show for you today. We'll talk about the upcoming museum talk. We'll review a 100-year-old newspaper from the island. We'll tell some island stories and have some trivia for you. Normally, we begin the show with an interview of the speaker of that month's museum talk. However, for circumstances beyond our control, we couldn't get the speaker interview in time for this radio broadcast. So let me describe who it is and what the talk is. The talk is on May 12th, and the speaker is Michael Mead. Michael is a renowned storyteller, author, and scholar of mythology, anthropology, and psychology. He combines hypnotic storytelling, street-savvy perceptiveness, and spellbinding interpretations of ancient myths with a deep knowledge of cross-cultural rituals. And the talk is entitled The Spirit of Place. This is going to be something a little bit new. It's going to be a hybrid presentation, which means Michael will be in the Land Trust building, and it will also be broadcast on Zoom. And it's free. Suggested donation, if you'd like, is $10. Simply go to VashonHeritageMuseum.org, and you can sign up on Zoom, or you can reserve in-person tickets. It's 7 p.m. on May 12th. It's presented in the Land Trust building, as well as on Zoom. And again, the author is Michael Mead, and the presentation is The Spirit of Place. Okay, so I hope we can all do that, but now let's move on to a 100-year-old newspaper. Okay, let's get to the 100-year-old newspaper. This is the Vashon Island News Record, published in June 30th, 1922. And the News Record was a combination of two rival newspapers, the Vashon Island News and the Vashon Island Record, and they combined them. And at this time, the owner and editor is a man named P. Monroe Smock. Some of the things that stood out looking at the newspaper, there aren't any photographs. It's only 8 pages long. And none of the articles have any attribution. There's no byline to say who wrote it or anything like that. And another thing that stood out was the cost. It was published every week, every Friday, and it was $2 per year for a subscription. Now, you compare that to today's Beachcomber, which is $70 per year. That's an increase of 35 times. So, with the same logic, if you get a subscription in 2122, it will cost you $2,450 a year. So, start saving up. Now, an interesting thing on the front page was the fact that one of the big stories was about the editor himself, Mr. Smock. The poor man had his entire house burned to the ground in 30 minutes. But I guess being a great journalist, he wrote it up and put it in his paper. Another article that kind of stood out for me was one about a governor in Illinois that was on trial for conspiracy to defraud the state, a man named Lem Small. And he was found not guilty. But the state charged that he defrauded it of $1.5 million, which is like a gajillion dollars today. So I guess graft in politics is not new. Now, if we go to the second page, it's opinion pieces, but it really doesn't say that. There's nothing on here that says, you know, this is an op-ed or this is my opinion. The only thing that changes in the article is the person speaking. They say we believe this, and these are in the second page. And one of the things they talk about is the Governor Small of Illinois, and it was great that he was found not guilty. But what it did was give a warning to other politicians that people are watching. And it also went on to say that the Governor Small's wife died of joy. That's not the way joy works, but apparently his wife did die right after the verdict. Interesting diagnosis. Page 3, we have some local articles. I notice a lot of advertising on the left and right of the page. One that always gets my attention is the dentist's advertising. I was a dentist for 10 years, so this always grabs my attention. And one in particular had he bragged about guaranteeing his work for 10 years. Okay, that's an audacious claim. And he also had in his clinic, they called them electrodental parlors. Doesn't really explain what that is, but it does not sound good. And what really got my attention was his name was Dr. Austin. So that's got to be one of my long-lost relatives. Was plying his trade here on the island and in Seattle. Let's see. In page 4, one of the things that stood out was the phone book. It listed numbers, and it listed ones that were changed, numbers that were installed, and numbers that were removed. There were 11 numbers that changed. I don't know why. It doesn't really say why they changed the numbers. 7 phones were installed, and 8 were removed. So I guess somebody didn't like their phone. It also has an advertisement for the Bayview Pavilion down on Burton, and that's every Saturday night. You can listen to the dulcet tones of a 4-piece jazz band. And probably Bill Wood was there listening, because he's the jazz guy. This event, the gents paid $1 and the ladies are free. On page 5, more local news. Some of the things that were newsworthy are interesting. They would say, oh, Mrs. Summers and Burton had the flu, which is better. Or Mr. Jones had a back injury. I kind of think these are HIPAA violations, but I guess that wasn't a big thing back then. Number 6 was full of professional advertisers like attorneys and Notary Public. It had 2 people that claimed they were physicians and surgeons. One of them was F. Arnold McMurray. And of course, that is the same McMurray of McMurray Middle School. So that was interesting. They also had the ferry schedules on this page. Which, of course, were very important to the people. Some famous ferries were the Vashona. They also had the Virginia 3, which went down the east side of the island, and the Virginia 5, which down the west side of the island. Page 7 was devoted to specific areas of the island, like Glen Acres or Portage or Burton. Again, they would just tell who was visiting who had a baby. I had one gentleman who bought a new Dodge automobile, so that was newsworthy. On the last page, page 8, was mostly ads, but something that caught my attention, one was fireworks. Of course, this was June 30th, so June 4th is coming up. And it reads, fireworks, the zippy, snappy, pepful kind of fireworks, which best express our true American feelings of independence. It's all new stock, every unlit fuse being the pathway to a kickful bang. They're selling crackers and rockets and torpedoes and cannons and canes and blank shells, pinwheels, and colored fire. Some things never change, I guess. And the other one that got my attention was, had the headline, The Dawn of a New Day, a radio in every home. Radio taphonomy is an accomplished practical fact and is now available in every home in the island. It will bring your home all that is the best in entertainment and educational features and the business news of the day, all at a cost well within the reach of most moderate incomes. Well, that was the voice of Vashon of its day, and that hasn't changed. So that's it. That's a 100-year-old newspaper, and if you want to find these for yourself, you can go to the Library of Congress, and they have a newspaper section, and you can look up all the newspapers on the island. Very wonderful site. Okay, now it's time for a little trivia. First question. This is a This is a place on the island, and it can claim a number of firsts. For instance, it was had the first platted community on the island, the first community with electricity, the first car ferry dock on the island, and the first regional radio broadcast. What is that place on the island? Question number two. This is another area of the island. This was a resort which had a first-class restaurant built over the water. It had a playground with merry-go-round, spring teeter-totter, wooden and rope swings, camel, horses, rockets, turning bars, and ring jumpers. Whatever those are. It also had steamer service that took people to either Seattle or Tacoma for only 25 cents. What was this area? Question number three is another place on the island. And in 1936, the State Park Commissioner visited the island of Vashon and they inspected four sites for a new park. The place ultimately chosen was known by locals as Sleepy Hollow. It included 1,600 feet of beach and a large spring for a year-round supply of fresh water. What was this area known as? And the hint is, they are refurbishing that area right now. Now it's time for an island story. Today's story is about some of the roads on the island. Our island's roads are named much like anywhere else, with the logically numbered streets and avenues, eponymous roads like Van Olinda or Beale, and the ones you always get wrong, like Glen Acres, which for some reason I always call Green Acres, but, you know, that's maybe just me. Many of our roads are thanks to the hard work of animals. For instance, Cedarhurst was originally a skid road where teams of oxen would tow great greased logs. The first road on Vashon was Dugway, which began as a deer trail, and some say still is, and was named for the method used to build it. Later, locals would give Dugway the name Wish Road because we were supposed to make a wish as you drove down the road. I imagine most of the witches were that the brakes work, because that is a really steep road. And speaking of nicknames, Bank Road was called Whoopee Road. I think it got that name for flying over those hills in the rumble seat with no seatbelt. It's like a carnival ride. If you love or hate your HMO, you have Vashon to thank, sort of. Kaiser Permanente, one of the original integrated health systems, and which grew out of Henry Kaiser's need to provide health care for his workers. Kaiser was an industrialist known as the father of modern American shipbuilding, but also built dams, civic centers, and cars through Kaiser Motors. And what was Kaiser's very first public works project? An 8-mile concrete highway from Vashon Heights to Center, built in 1920. The cost of the project was $185,000. Half of it was paid by the state and half by a levy put on the people that lived adjacent to the road. If you didn't pay your levy, no problem. Taxes could be paid by grabbing a shovel and helping build the road. There's still a small portion of this road known as Old Vashon Highway. Wax Orchard was named for the 140-acre orchard that supplied all of the nation's waxed fruit. Okay, maybe that's not true. Maybe it got its name because the owner was a man named August Wax. Luana Beach Road was named by Frank Hubble, who bought the area in 1908. He named it after a former girlfriend and ran a resort there through the 1920s. Located next to the resort was a dynamite factory. Zoning laws were somewhat different back then. Pole Road, on the southern portion of Vashon, has had more than its share of controversy. Way back when, the area was a military reservation, which included a cannon to help protect Tacoma Narrows. As time went by, and with the British Navy nowhere to be seen, civilians were allowed to buy property sometime in the early 20s. With a new Southend ferry terminal open, people found it an easy commute to hop on the ferry and sail to Tacoma. Pole Road at that time was hilly and poorly maintained, so folks found it easier to get to the dock by walking along the shoreline. A legal battle ensued between homeowners and commuters who pitted private property laws against the public's right to beach access. The case would eventually make it all the way to the state Supreme Court. The property owners prevailed. How Shawnee Road got its name has always intrigued me. I assume there was some connection with the Shawnee Nation. The truth, however, is somewhat more prosaic. The area was plotted by Millard F. Shaw in the 1930s. Apparently, he just added N-E-E to his own name. And finally, as someone who likes to bicycle around the island, the most aptly named road has to be Burma. It was named after the ridiculously steep, sinuous road that began in Burma and snaked across the Himalayan mountains into China, which is probably easier than biking our Burma road. And there you have it, roads of the island. Okay, before we finish up the show here, it's time for some trivia answers. Question number one was, what is the area that had several firsts on the island? The first platted community, the first electricity, the first ferry dock, and so forth. And the answer is Ellisport. It was once a bustling community supporting a number of industries and commercial enterprises, as well as docks. It had the first Chautauqua Assembly Ground in Washington State. And as I said, it had the first ferry dock, the first radio. The Schwabop's first people of Vashon Island named this area Hidden Spring, for a spring created when an old woman carried water in a basket to a young girl hidden here to avoid being given in marriage to a man she did not want to marry. So hats off to Ellisport for all our firsts on the island. Okay, answer for question number two. It was a place with a first-class restaurant built over the water, had a merry-go-round and rope swings and teeter-totters and all that for its guests, had the 25-cent ferry to either Seattle, Tacoma. It was the Lawana Beach Resort. It was built by Civil War veteran Frank Hubbell in 1924. The resort featured 2,000 feet of waterfront, a boardwalk, one, two, or three-room bungalow, camping sites, and a large carved eagle sculpture. Rowboats were available for fishing and for collecting clams, geoducks, and crabs. Lawana Beach Resort. And question number three, what was the area the state park commissioners visited and inspected in 1936 and chose for their park? It was Duckton Park. Known as Sleepy Hollow at the time, it included 1,600 feet of beach and has a large spring for year-round fresh water. And now we can see that there's still some cranes out there refurbishing it and getting it back to its former glory. And that's Duckton State Park. And that's it for trivia. Well, that does it for our show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Unfortunately, as I said at the beginning, we couldn't do an interview with Michael Mead, but you can hear him in person or on a Zoom call May 12th. Just go to the Vashon Heritage Museum website, and you can sign up for Zoom, or you can reserve tickets for in-person lecture. I'd like to thank those that help me with this every month, Bruce Hallman, Elsa Kroonquist, Mike Suddeth. I appreciate the help. And that's our show. Take care, everyone.